So I'm assuming, first of all, that you're a non-voter. That's right.
Yeah, I don't vote and haven't voted since 1992.
I'm sure you've heard, you perhaps have friends who vote who would describe your position as being either apathetic or defeatist. How do you respond to that kind of criticism?
Well, I think that voting is, it's really kind of just, you know, voting the same people into power all the time, the people who have power. You know, it's not, you're not getting your average Joe and Jane in there in the office. People, it's a system that's disempowering. It takes power away from people. It doesn't really give you a lot of input into local decisions and decisions affecting your life. You know, there's a lot of anarchist sayings about it, such as, you know, whoever you vote for, the government wins, or if voting changed anything, it would be made illegal.
Right.
So there's a lot, I think there's a lot of solid objections to voting. In fact, you know, over 50% of Americans don't vote in the national elections every 4 years.
That's a significant number. And we were discussing earlier, maybe we can go over a bit of this again, what you think the reasons for that are, because certainly they're not all people who are activist-oriented or that object on the same principles that you or I might. Do you agree with that? Or
I think that the people who don't vote, there's a lot of different reasons for that. There, of course, there's the reason of apathy, but that doesn't explain all of the people who don't vote. I don't know what the figures are for apathy, but, I mean, there's a lot of people who just don't pay attention to the political process. Not important to their lives. They really have other interests. Then there are people who don't vote on principle, such as me. There'll probably be people who are just fed up with the system. They feel alienated by the politicians. They complain about Washington, or they've, you know, got tired of the Republican or Democratic parties being the same, or they're just frustrated with the lack of alternatives. And then there's probably a small group of people who just feel that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. They're just not going to bother to vote.
Do you think that the act of voting legitimizes governments?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if you take some time out of your day to go vote, you're saying that this sort of system is legitimate. This is a legitimate way to change things and run people's lives. And anarchists have always asked people to take direct action in their lives, which is instead of asking the government to do something, work together with other people, your family, your neighbors, your friends, to change things or set up alternative institutions. And that's kind of like the vision of anarchism long term, is for people to have the power, the grassroots, a true participatory democracy.
I guess activism is what we would prefer people to engage in rather than voting, which is arguably a very passive act in the first place, as far as participating in a democracy goes.
I think we'd all like to see everybody engaged in the political process, to, you know, being up to date on the issues, having some input into decisions, you know, have a say if, like, the Walmart is put in, you know, that should be on the ballot, or other zoning decisions, for example. That stuff should be something people should have input on, and it's just, the voting is not the best way to do that. Some people will argue that voting on referendum and in local elections is acceptable, but still you've got a system that's really kind of set up for the two parties. And, you know, I would say that looking back over my lifetime, I've really never, ever voted for anybody that I really, really liked or thought represented me. And I think that's what a lot of people are frustrated with the choices.
Do you view referendums as the same as elections? Because I can see an argument which says if it's a decision being made on a single issue, then I think that I personally might be more inclined to participate in something like a referendum, particularly if you compare it with an election.
A referendum is more local. Here in Kansas City, we had a referendum last election, at least on the Missouri side, about spending money on transportation, improving public transportation. And there was also another scheme that was a little more out there. And the voters didn't, you know, voters rejected that scheme, but they voted for the referendum on improving the bus system. And that's more of a participatory democracy sort of thing. People have a little more input. They They can read the newspaper. They can talk to their neighbors. You know, there's some money being exchanged here and there to influence the vote, but it's a little closer to the grassroots level. It's not the optimum. You don't have people in the neighborhoods getting together and having caucuses or making a decision saying, okay, our neighborhood or our community thinks this. It's more indirect. We have a representative who's supposed to know what we think. He or she may ask people that they represent, but most of the time they're going to probably vote on the political stand, the political party stand, and other factors, developers giving them money or, special interest groups.
Okay, I have a few questions for you on the subject of reform. And first of all, I'd like to know if you believe that the current system of government is beyond any notion of reform.
Well, I think here in the United States, I think the system of government is way beyond reform at this point. And you can see that in the rhetoric that's popping up in the campaign. There's people talking about asking John Kerry to pick John McCain as his running mate, sort of like unity and heal the country and bring the country together. That shows you how desperate they are right now. A lot of people are upset at the government, at both parties, about the war, about the economy, a lot of other issues. And anarchists is always going to argue that we should get rid of the government. I think the United States government's kind of proven itself to be kind of a bad character on the world stage, especially the last couple of years. But it's not just George Bush is the problem. It's to be John Kerry. He could manage a nicer war that still ends up killing people and diverting resources that could be used for schools and health care in the United States. But I just don't see reforms as an option in the United States right now.
It's fair to say that, according to the reading I've been doing anyway, that there's not much of a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats these days.
Well, yeah. John Kerry was in Independence, Missouri, which is near, right next to Kansas City here, last week. And he came out, he said a lot of things about the war and about the military. That was pretty much, like the Republicans. Like Republicans in a more, normal time, not as crazy as George W. Bush and his neoconservative buddies, but I think it was yesterday, Kerry said that he was in favor of the Patriot Act.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and these things are kind of like, well, what? Oh, no, actually, yesterday he said that he was in favor of the FCC crackdown on indecency. I'm sorry about that. That Kerry came out saying that the FCC needed to crack down on indecency, which I would argue is not a problem at all. It wasn't a problem until the Super Bowl last year. It's all a big show. I mean, it's a political show. Bush is trying to appease his supporters among the religious right, and that's why that's on the on their agenda. And also, it serves to distract people from more serious issues, such as like the torture at those prisons in Iraq and the war mm-hmm. and the economy and a lot of other issues. It's a distraction for the most part. I mean, most artists are not going to, they're not going to be censored.
There is a large pattern of thought in the United States right now, if not a movement, that suggests that anybody but Bush would be preferable. While I know what your feelings are about that already, what I'm wondering is if you can envision a time in the future that you would ever vote as a protest.
I guess this is probably the election where it's a good test of that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Is the situation that bad that I should go out there and vote Bush out of office? I mean, there's something to that anybody but Bush movement. I mean, he is very extreme. He thinks he's talking to God. He has surrounded himself with these advisors. He lives in a bubble. Protests never get close to him. He has some bad policies, but at the same time, I think people just forget to look at the long-term historical record of American presidents. Ronald Reagan's in the news right now because his health is deteriorating. Ronald Reagan, in many ways, was far more scary than George W. Bush.
Certainly, he's a precursor to a certain extent.
I think people forget what he did as a president because there's so much propaganda about what a wonderful guy he was. This is a guy who gutted social safety net in the United States to the extent that we still feel the effects today. My unemployment ran out after 9 months. That is because of Ronald Reagan when he was president. Ronald Reagan conducted all those covert wars. He set into motion some of the things that we're dealing with now, such as the Middle East, Osama bin Laden.
Central America.
He was the guy who joked, we began bombing in 5 minutes, prolonged the Cold War. You look at him, or you could pick George Bush Sr. Pick any president, you're going to find some skeletons there and some problems. I can understand why people's gut reaction is to get rid of George Bush, but you have to look, some people on the left have argued that their argument for the anybody but Bush a vote is that we will vote him out now, and then we'll start pressuring Kerry, and we'll start fighting for more radical reforms after Kerry gets elected. There's some recognition among these people that there really isn't much difference, but Bush is so extreme, he has to be ousted from office. I've argued several different arguments against that, one of which is, if this guy is so bad, why aren't we just throwing him out of office right now? Why isn't there a revolution? Why isn't there impeachment even? The Democrats won't even impeach him for all the scandal. The Democrats' response to the calls for impeachment is, well, we'll just impeach him in November.
I trust that by now you've been reading what Noam Chomsky has said about voting in this upcoming election, and I wonder if that has surprised you to any extent.
It's a disappointment. It doesn't surprise me totally. It surprised me a little bit. I think he's been hanging around more of the established left too much recently, and they have kind of clouded his thinking. I've always been a long-time fan of Noam, but this really doesn't make sense in many ways, because Chomsky has been a critic of U.S. foreign policy for over 30 years, mm-hmm. and he's always criticized both Democrats and Republicans. If you read Chomsky, the thing you come away from is both parties serve power, and they engage in policies domestically and around the world that benefit capitalists and those of power. And to say that we should vote for Kerry, who is a rich person who serves a party that serves capitalism, over Bush, I don't really, I'm just kind of mystified.
I'm guessing that he has a comfortable living himself. I mean, with the 30 books and, a salary from MIT and the money that he must make from his various speaking engagements. But it occurred to me that part of the reason for this thinking might be because he's fairly comfortable.
I think it's more the fact that he's comfortable and that he's surrounded by a lot of people who like him. Uh-huh. And they're telling him he's a great guy, and thousands of people show up for his speeches, and everybody buys his tapes and his CDs and his books. But I don't really see a lot of criticism out there from fans and from friends and from comrades. I've read a few things critical of his stance about endorsing Kerry, but I just think that if he was getting more criticism, he probably wouldn't be taking a stance like that.
What would your reaction be to a system of mandatory voting?
Well, that kind of ties into what people argue about their response to the 50% that don't vote here in the United States. They come up with ideas like mandatory voting, or having voting occur on weekends, extending the voting hours, allowing the voting over the Internet. What they don't understand, what none of us understands, is that people don't vote for reasons that are pretty solid. They're not just apathetic. Voting in the United States is pretty easy. It's a mandate by law that every employer has to give you, your employer has to give you 4 hours off on voting days so you can go vote. Voting can be done at schools, churches, community centers, usually places with lots of parking. The polls usually open at 7 in the morning. They close at 7 at night. It's 12 hours. You can go vote. But people aren't voting because they don't like the system. They don't like the politicians. They don't like Washington. It's a bipartisan thing. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Anarchists, Socialists, what have you. They just don't feel connected with the system. They're hostile to the system, and that's why they don't vote. Making voting mandatory or making it easier is not going to change that situation.
I suppose one could still spoil one's ballot.
How can you mandate voting in a so-called democracy? Democracy means you freely participate in decision-making, not that you're forced to participate in decision-making. That's fascism.
Do you believe that, as some anarchists have spoken to, that voting could be interpreted as a violent act?
Sure. That's been argued by anarchists for a long time. That goes back to legitimizing the system, legitimizing the government. When you participate in voting, you are saying that this system is legitimate. Some people have facetiously responded to the quip, if you didn't vote, you don't have a right to complain, with the quip, you voted, it's your fault. If you vote and you're participating in the system and you're legitimizing the system, you are basically saying what the system is doing has your consent for the most part. I mean, if you're voting in the system and your country, your government is invading Iraq or invading Afghanistan or, you know, killing people on death row or whatever policy, it's a violent system. You're endorsing the violent system by voting. I think that's an interesting argument. I think it's kind of valid.
When we're seeking change, do you adhere to strict nonviolence?
I kind of adhere to more of the diversity of tactics line. I think that tactics are really up to the individual to decide what level of tactics they're going to use, which tactics, when they're going to use certain tactics. I think the tactical question is, get too much focus, too much attention. I think everybody would like to see change happen nonviolently. I mean, I don't think any of us really want to see people hurt when change happens. Sometimes you might have a really atrocious, repressive government, and there's no other choice but to throw them out violently. I think we've seen examples of that throughout history, where there's been a violent revolution that got rid of a really bad regime. But more recently, in recent years, there have been a lot of nonviolent so-called revolutions. And I think there's potential for that. I mean, if everybody feels that way, there's a big change afoot in everybody's minds, and, you know, the army and the police just, you know, sit on their hands, you can have a nonviolent radical change or revolution.